The following show is produced by the Tech Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Mike Nelson from Mystery Science Theater and RiffTracks.com, and you're listening to the greatest show on the planet, Tech Talk Radio.
This is Tech Talk Radio. I'm Justin Lemme.
I'm Andy Taylor. We're the show that talks about computers,
technology,
and the internet.
And babies.
It's baby talk. first thing I do, I start talking to Justin. I say, so you getting much sleep? Now, for those who don't know, his lovely wife, Misa, gave birth to a
1 month ago.
Yeah, this week,
Saturday.
Right?
Saturday, yeah. Will be 1 month, yeah.
Wow. So, that's a question you always ask parents. It's like, are you getting sleep now?
You know what? He's actually a really good baby. He is sleeping during the day a lot of the times. At night, he'll wake up maybe once or twice a night. So that's not bad. I mean, I'll help her with the, getting the formula ready and everything like that and getting him fed. But,
Have you looked into the technology that's available, for what they have, like stuff that'll help sounds that'll make the baby go to sleep?
Well, and, I mean, I've used the white noise app on the iPad. I put that in his crib, and he just started screaming, so he doesn't really doesn't like that. I guess it didn't help that I chose the House of Horrors white noise.
Great, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, the Haunted House one, yeah, didn't really help that.
They have something else that I heard about the other day, and we got to get some of this stuff to test out before, Eric is 16.
I know, right?
but it's a pad, apparently, that the baby is on.
Yes.
And it monitors what, the heart rate,
heart rate, breathing, all that. It's great for babies that love to do belly sleeping because as a young baby, you got the chance of SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome.
Scary.
If they sleep on their belly, but some babies just really like to sleep on their belly. But when they can't control their neck, they could end up with their face into the crib, the crib itself, and then they can't breathe. So yeah, this pad will monitor their breathing rates, their heart rate. There's even a pad that you can put into a sock that will monitor their level of hydration and other things like that. So that's a really cool piece of technology there. It's almost to the point, though, it's almost a little too much. Like, I don't need to know every little statistic of every second of every day, but it is nice.
It gives you that peace of mind. I was checking them out. One of them, I think, is from a company called Angel Care.
Okay.
And I was checking them out, Aqua White by Angel Care, and it has all of the necessities, the tools, but again, all of that, and it's not that expensive, like $80, but it's more than anything, it's that peace of mind for the parent. I used to wake up my baby. I just would go to my daughter's.
I'll walk up to him in the crib, and I'll look at him, and he's totally still, and I'm like, I'll kind of poke him in the belly a little bit, and he'll be like, eh, and I'm like,
every parent has done that. He will get back at you, though, when dad needs to take a nap. After the game or before the game, dad's in the easy chair.
Yeah.
Your son will come climbing all over you.
Dad.
Yeah, that's the way it works.
I'm looking forward to that, though.
Isn't that the best?
Yeah.
I think so. Are you getting any video gaming in?
You know what? Actually, a little bit here and there. I've actually picked up the re-release of Diablo 3 for the Xbox One.
It's called
Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls. Very famous, super famous game. It's been out for years, obviously. Huge cult following. I never could get into it, though, when I played it on PC. But I picked it up on Xbox, and I'm actually enjoying it. The one thing I really enjoy now is that I'm using my Xbox One again on a normal basis. Now that I'm running Windows 10, I'm able to stream my Xbox to my PC, so I don't have to be sitting in the living room when Misa wants to watch a show.
Right.
I could be in my office playing Xbox on my PC.
Now, I tried that one because we got the Xbox One when it first came out, and I tried it, and it wasn't that great an experience. Have they made it better since?
Absolutely. They've done a lot of big updates to it. It's flawless.
One thing now is everybody is into the month of February is many changes, many people coming back, disseminating information from the big Consumer Electronics Show. And earlier this week, we had Jim Berry from the Consumer Technology Association stop by our studios. And we got a chance to talk to him about this year's show and some of the things that really stood out for him. Jim, always great to talk to you.
Always nice to be with you. Andy, we missed you in Vegas this year.
Yep.
And it's always nice to be in Tucson at this time of year.
We warmed it up for you, 78 degrees.
It's beautiful, though. I like it a lot.
So with this year's big CES show, we see a lot in the press. We see a lot on television about some of the cool things shown, like the television that is about as thick as a piece of cardboard.
Yes.
I mean, I remember standing with you at CES when they unveiled the Panasonic, was it 150-inch TV?
Yeah, yeah.
And now, I mean, you walk into, you can walk into Walmart and buy a 70-inch. It's no biggie.
I know. And well, CES has always been about TV, among many other things, and it's certainly grown. A couple of interesting points. This year was the biggest show ever, 45 football fields. That's over 2.5 million square feet of exhibit space. Some 170,000 people, give or take, from all over the world. This was also the 50th anniversary of CES.
Yeah. That's right.
Which is really remarkable if you think about 1967. Something's happening here. We're not sure what, it's not very clear, right?
Right.
It was a long time ago, and the new technology were things like color TV was the new thing with TV back then. And you also, and they were starting to get in UHF with VHF.
Right.
You had things like 8-track tapes and cassette tapes. So that was the new technology.
Somebody asked me the other day, they said, what was there before 8-tracks? It was reel-to-reel, right?
Exactly, I mean, reel-to-reel. And I remember buying one of those when I got out of the Army. It was great at TIAC. Oh, spectacular.
Great players.
I had that for a number of years, yeah. But anyway, that was 50 years ago, if you think about it. The first show in Las Vegas was 1978. The show started in New York. It was in Chicago, then there were two a year. But 1978, when the new technology was the home computer, the Apple II was out. The IBM PC didn't come out until 1981. But the VCR, video cassette recorder, was just starting to take off. And that's when I first went to CES in 1979 in Las Vegas. And then what happened right after that, there were a lot of computer companies then, including Coleco and Texas Instruments and... just Eagle Computer. There would, I mean, you could...
Microprocessor companies.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So you had all of that. And then in the early 80s, you had the breakup of Ma Bell and the growth of the whole telecommunications and the home phone business. So all of that, CES kind of reflected that. And then in the last 20 years, what you've had is this whole digital revolution. And when you look at the roster of new products that have been introduced at CES, going back to 1970 with the VCR that showed up in stores 5 or 6 years later, in 1981 with the CD that showed up in 1984 in stores. When you start looking at all of that, high-definition TV, 1995 in the stores in late 1998. And now, you know, from 8-tracks and color TV to... the Internet of Everything is really one of the big things that we saw at this year's CES.
Last year, we kind of were calling it the Internet of Things, and this year, the Internet of Everything. Is that because they found so many applications for what really Internet of Things was all about?
I think so, and those are really interchangeable, Internet of Things, Internet of Everything. IoT is the shorthand that's used a lot. Although there was one new product, a underwater drone that was shown at the show.
Oh, I wanted to see that. That
somebody said, oh, that's the Internet of Trout. That's what IoT stands for.
Well,
there.
You know, it's about time. It's funny because we kept thinking about going in the air.
Right.
Now we could go underwater with our own drone.
I know. Well,
you know, the funny thing, too, about a drone that goes underwater, if you lose a drone in a tree, that's one thing. But if it gets eaten by a 150-pound grouper, that's another bad thing.
Not a good thing at all. Not a good thing. You got a Jonah and the whale kind of.
Yeah.
At any rate, digital technology and sensors have gotten so small that you can put them on just about anything. And wireless technology has gotten so good that you can then communicate one device to another, one device to the cloud, to the internet, then to any other place, and to a smartphone for control. So you have things like smart soccer balls and basketballs,
right,
and smart bats for baseball and softball. So you've got smart just about
even the golfer.
Everything.
The golfer themselves can improve their game
right
with these sensors.
And you've got the devices that you can either put on the club, you can put on your wrist, you can put on your glove. Lots of ways to improve that golf game.
Last year, I noticed there was a lot of drones. There were so many companies and unique and, you know, you had DJI and then you had even GoPro was saying, hey, we're going to get into the drone business with so many out there. Was there some that maybe didn't make it that you know, with all that competition, it's got to be tough. And then you have to figure out your audience. Some push towards professional broadcasters, some push towards a photographer. Others push to, hey, mom and dad, want to fly a drone and take pictures of everybody standing on the ground.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're right. And it's all of the above. And we bought more than 2 million drones last year.
2 million.
And you mentioned GoPro. The thing, you know, drones flying airplanes, model planes and stuff have been around for a long time.
Right.
What's really taken off in the last couple of years is the marriage of the action camcorder, GoPro and all the others, putting a camera and camcorder on one of these flying robots. So that's what has really spurred the growth of these. And you've got lots of really great commercial uses for those, including real estate, including farms, using that to see areas that are difficult to get to. And also photographers, you mentioned, a lot of your listeners may have been at a wedding in the last year or two where an outdoor reception where there's a drone taking the picture. It's really astonishing when you think about it. And then there's rules about these, of course. If it's more than a half a pound, you have to register it, and there'll be a whole registration thing in the box when you buy one. And there's other regulations that are pretty common sense. You don't want to be flying it within 5 miles of an airport. You don't want to be flying it over crowds like down at the mall or over the people so forth. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's and it has to be in your line of sight. So all of those rules, it's going to be interesting to see in the next year whether that continues to grow and whether we'll get past the hobbyists for these flying robots. But there really are lots of cool applications.
I did notice the FAA was at the big CES show this year.
Yeah.
You know, they provide information, so people need to understand, too. We're talking about some of the coolest gadgets there,
right?
But you have sessions, you have people who come up and talk to the FAA and say, how is this going to affect me if I get into this?
Right. There's a huge conference sessions as well as exhibits there from representatives from different government agencies. And all of the FCC commissioners are there, for instance, and sit down with the president of CTA, Gary Shapiro, and they typically have a conversation about the year past and the year ahead and the conference sessions. And there were scores of members of Congress there and other folks, because, again, we're talking about technology that that affects everybody's lives, and the regulations and legislation that deals with this technology is very important, and it's really good to see the members of Congress and the regulators come to the show, so they really have a firsthand feel for where this is going.
How is, and I'm sure you can pick up the trend from this, technology manufacturers in the United States? Let's face it, we know a lot of televisions come from international sources. Are there manufacturers, and are we seeing maybe an uptick in manufacturing of technology products in the U.S.?
Yes, and there always have been. You know, the huge numbers, a lot have gone overseas, and this is truly a global industry and has been for a number of years. There has always been plenty of assembly in the U.S. and some manufacturing, and it is starting to come back. And there's actually talk of one of the biggest makers in China, Foxconn, which makes iPhones, building factories here in the U.S. So, you know, it's all economics. All the cost of labor in building these different products. The answer to your question is yes, there is. There always has been manufacturing of electronics in the U.S. A lot of the big stuff went away. A lot of it's coming back.
For those that are audiophiles, are we still seeing changes in sound?
Yes, we are. And the really good news for audiophiles is, in two words, high-res audio. And high-res audio, basically for the uninitiated, when we made the switch, I mentioned when the CD came out and then streaming audio, it's compression. There's only so much space that you're going to put these ones and zeros on. For the real audio files, the golden ears guys and gals and the musicians who want to hear what they put down in the studio come out of the speakers, they were disappointed because a lot of that, they said in the compression, they took out some of it. And it variously described as the nuance, really stuff that that is really appreciated by discriminating listeners. Well, high-res audio basically takes the technology now and puts that stuff back in. So it uses those ones and zeros. So you now have high-res audio. You have speakers, you have amplifiers, you've got headphones, you've got some wireless phones. HTC has a phone, and there's others that are capable of high-res audio. So you can listen to that. Another really interesting thing that a number of us remarked on at CES was the return of turntables. There are lots of turntables there.
Yep.
And some of the coolest turntables, you know, for those of us who have a collection of vinyl still in our attic or our basement, you can get a nice turntable now with Bluetooth built in to send it right to your speakers, Bluetooth speakers, so you can listen to it. So so there's a lot of good news for audio, both for really discriminating listeners as well as for those of us who are less discriminating or may have been in the artillery for a couple of years, as I was. And some of that nuance is lost on us.
Thank you for your service, too. Many people this year talked about Eureka Park and why this is the place to be, especially if you're a startup. Why has this seemed to be growing in popularity?
Eureka Park is my favorite part of CES, has been for the last, this is the sixth year, started in 2012 with 50 companies. And the idea was startup companies. It couldn't be more than a year old. And in many cases, when we say companies, that's a very loosely defined, because a lot of times it's a couple of gals, guy and a gal, husband and wife, with an idea for a better electronic mousetrap.
Yeah.
Something that's going, and they're not there like Samsung and LG and all these other huge companies are there with their giant displays that are there to work with their dealers and distributors and salespeople and all the rest. They're there looking for venture capital.
Right.
They're there looking for angels or investors. The best story about that is a few years ago, this little company was there at CES, and they had an idea for a virtual reality headset.
Oh, wow.
And it was a very small company. I don't know if there were 20 people, but it was called the Oculus Rift.
Amazing.
And later that year, they were purchased by Facebook for $2 billion. Now, that's like the real extreme dream of everybody that goes to CES to see their device get purchased and get a really big hit out of it. But there's lots of smaller deals, of course, that are made there, and a lot of ideas that folks say, well, this is really great. And, you know, a lot of companies have started there as really little companies at CES over these 50 years that the show has been going and has... there are only two companies that have been there every CES. One is Panasonic. Right. When they started, they were this little division of Matsushita, Japanese company, which was a pretty big company worldwide, but was pretty much nowhere in the U.S. Remember, this is the late 60s. And the other one is AudioVox, which is Vox International now, but they also own a lot of brands that were there then as well. So it's really... but there's lots of folks who've been going to that show for a long time. It's really remarkable to see how that has both led and reflected this consumer technology industry over this half century.
Well, I know with all of the years, Jim, that you've been covering CES, you've seen some great ideas come and maybe some go, some that just sit there for a while and then finally something happens.
Things kind of, in many cases, they percolate along under the surface and then some things never really come to fruition. But other things, they percolate, and then suddenly, boom. It's kind of like one of the actors recently on one of the award shows said, I've been at this for 15 years to become an overnight sensation. That happens with a lot of products, too. They really percolate along for a good long time, and then off they go.
Well, and we hear sometimes some products that maybe don't make it to market. Great concept, but that they take that concept and they refine it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's turned into another company buys it and says, we're going to make this better.
Right.
And that seems to be what happens. And that's what I think we're seeing with VR right now.
Yeah.
We're seeing different forms. We're seeing it now in the production side of it for capturing this virtual reality footage. We're seeing it done easier, better, the whole bit. So again, it's sometimes it's just the concept. And it grows from there.
Yeah, and timing too.
Yeah.
There's nothing more powerful than an idea whose time has come.
Yeah.
And now when we have some of these things that it's just not the right time for it.
Yeah.
Or all the technology is not ready. You know, this voice recognition and artificial intelligence that we talk about, best known as Alexa or the Amazon Echo or the Google Home. Hey Google. That stuff's been around for a while, but it's taken a while to, especially the voice recognition. In the early 90s, when they first started doing this, the voice to error rate, the word to error rate was like 95%, which meant almost all the words were wrong. Now it approaches, and this is only in the last 4 or 5 years, it has gone from something like 25% down to pretty much replicating what human ears can will hear, which is probably a 5 or 6% error rate, because we all don't hear exactly, you know,
right.
What did he just say? You know, I'm not sure. So those kinds of things. So that's gotten, now I think that's really, at CES, we saw so many smart home devices connected to voice recognition devices, whether Google right. Home or Amazon Echo, that I think is just poised to really blossom in the next several years.
I think honestly, too, like you say, timing. If we would have seen Alexa or we would have seen Google before we saw the Nest or the Schlage smart home locks or
right.
biometrics,
mm-hmm.
I think we might have been a little more fearful of them.
Exactly.
But by us slowly making our homes automated and slowly seeing these, right. you know, these devices in our homes, we feel a little more comfortable so that we're not so afraid of having this voice assistant in our homes that is always kind of listening and then being able to automate.
Well, you're right. And then there's a whole demographic shift going on here as well. Some of us, speaking for myself, old guys who might be a little wary of some of this stuff.
Right.
You know, the younger generation that has grown up with this, I mean, they're ready to jump on all of this. You know, the smartphone, which my kids have grown up with, you know, that's just 10 years old now. The iPhone introduced in 2007. And then the App Store late in early 2008. So that is really
wow.
the most transformative of all of these different devices, all the things you can do with a smartphone. And then this next generation now, so that you won't even have to take that phone out of your pocket or purse, all of these different elements, I think this is poised to be a really big thing.
All right, so one final question I have, because I used to go to Comdex,
mm-hmm.
and I would kind of, you know, kind of bounce back and forth to the different shows, et cetera.
Right.
And I remember, you know, Comdex was strictly computers,
yeah.
pretty much. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you went, you learned about microprocessors. Are we still seeing companies showing off their laptops and tablets and, you know, maybe what's coming in desktop computers? Are we really moving more towards our devices, our smartphones, our tablets as being the driving forces in that technology?
Yes.
Yeah.
He said to all
boy,
those
yeah.
questions.
Yeah, I did ask a lot, didn't I?
right. Well, first of all, yeah, there were lots of laptops and tablets and some desktops. You know, desktops are... some folks still like to have a desktop in their home. They like that wired connection, or they have a laptop that sits in a docking station that is wired rather than the wireless connections. But portable devices, whether it's laptops or tablets, outsell desktops by 25 to yeah. 1 or so. And at CES, there were lots of these new gaming laptops. These are the more expensive ones.
Oh.
You know, people like Razer and so forth
oh,
that
yeah.
are really serious laptops that you can take with you. So there were more and more of those. The thing about Comdex was a huge show that, you're right, was a computer show. And if you think about it, you're absolutely right. The technology that used to be just, well, first it was in mainframes, then mini computers, then mm-hmm. desktop computers, now is in just about everyone's pocket or purse with a smartphone
yeah.
and tablets and portable computers. So, and now Internet of Things. So as that technology migrated to what was the consumer technology market rather than the computer market, CES has continued to grow even as other shows have gone by the wayside. A lot
yeah.
of the folks who exhibited at those shows, you'll see at CES now. So
yeah.
CES, you know, that's always a question. Trade shows, do we need them now in this internet age and
oh,
so
yeah.
forth? There's nothing that can replicate, even with Skype and FaceTime and so forth, a handshake, a look in the eye,
mm-hmm.
you know, a pat on the shoulder, a meeting in person. The typical person who goes to CES, this is a business show, has 33 or more business meetings.
Right.
And doing it there in person is really important and will continue to be important.
CES wrapped almost a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
What now? What happens throughout the rest of the year with the Consumer Technology Association?
Well, Consumer Technology Association, based in Arlington, Virginia, in Washington, is best known as the producer of CES, but they have a whole government relations area. They lobby on the behalf of the 2,000 or so members, as well as on consumers. They have a whole research arm that does consumer research and sets standards for electronic products.
Right.
So there's a lot going on year-round. They also have some conferences and so forth for members, and all of that stuff is going on. And believe it or not, they've already begun planning for CES 2018.
Wow, it's going to be exciting. Yeah. And if our listeners want to get more information.
CES.tech is the show's website. CTA.tech is the association's website. Links to all these companies we're talking about as well. And you can follow me on Twitter if you'd like, or ask me a question if you'd like, at CTA Answer Man.
Jim Barry, always great to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Andy. Always great to see you.
Thinking about getting a microphone? Coming up, we'll talk with Dave out in Indio, California, about our recommendation and the microphone that he ended up purchasing.
We'll be back with more of Tech Talk Radio.
Now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody out there in Radio Land. This is James Young from the rock band Styx. If you are technically challenged, if you got trouble with that computer of yours, because Lord knows I do, you need to listen to Tech Talk Radio.
I'm looking for a book, Computers for Dummies, because I got a computer. Everybody said, you got to get one. They're a lot of fun. So I got one, and I cannot figure out how to work this thing. They're so complicated, aren't they? I'm actually having more fun playing in the box that it came in than the computer. And that took me like an hour to figure out. Getting in the box was easy. Getting out was tough. You got to rock a little bit, you know? And then you roll out. But they have these tech support people, and they know everything. If you got a problem, hey, I got a problem. Does it say non-system error disk 1065B? Yeah. It's like they're right in the room with you, you know? Okay, click on that. Now does it say error problem 589? Yeah. All right, go into your bedroom. You see those blue pants on your bed? Put those on.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
And I'm Justin Lemmy.
I don't know if you heard about this. There was a company that got a lot of press this past week for an app that they have. It's from a company called Open Whisper System. Mm. Now, the company's based in San Francisco, and their app, and I went ahead and got it, it's called Signal. And what it does is it's an app that features end-to-end encryption. So what that means is basically I can send you a text, and only you can decrypt it on the other side. So it's encrypted on my side, encrypted and decrypted for you to read. And it also makes voice calls available. But what caught everybody's eyes is somebody at the White House has said, this is the app to use. So now we're finding out that many members of the staff at the federal government level are starting to use this app, which is kind of a cool thing. Now, WhatsApp is another app that I want to say it was one of the first ones that are out there that was, you know, people were saying, wait a minute, encrypts your messaging. And some people think, well, I don't get it. What's so important about that? That just means that nobody's going to hack anything in between.
Sure.
So if you're sending, you know, if I'm sending you a message, et cetera, I don't have to worry about somebody getting in the middle and maybe taking, you know, if I'm sharing, hey, there's going to be a meeting with, you know, the Joint Chiefs, or there's going to be a business meeting somewhere for business.
Or here's my social security number.
Yeah, exactly. So WhatsApp has been doing this. They've done it similar. Now, I talked to Slick about this earlier this week. He said the only thing about WhatsApp is an active phone service is needed to use it, and hotspots are not an option. So you can't just go on Wi-Fi and do that. He said that there's other services like iMessage, ChatSecure, and Wickr, W-I-C-K-R, which offer encryption, which is kind of a cool thing. If you want to take a look, the app is called Signal. I downloaded it, and I think only 6 of my contacts were on there. Because, you know, it can pull from your contact list, and only 6 of them were using it. You know, you can send a message to somebody, could be intercepted. That's one of those things. So you want people listening in. Now, if you do want people to listen in, maybe you want them to listen to what you're saying, getting a good microphone can be a good way to
come. Wow.
Yeah.
That was an amazing segment.
Wasn't that just great?
That was awesome. Slow clap.
All right. So let me ask you. All right. So if you're going to get on a laptop, all right, okay, and you're going to get on a PC, what would you rather have? Would you rather have a headphone with a boom microphone that's on the headphone and talk that way? Or would you rather have a good set of headphones and a good microphone plugged in a microphone and then your headphone jack on your laptop and go that route?
Well, you know, I prior to the current setup that I have that we use here to record for Tech Talk Radio with this nice Shure microphone on a boom, mic boom,
yep,
I would probably say I would really go with a good gaming headset with a, you know, a mic on the headset. But once I connected this particular microphone to my PC's input and started using that to chat with my friends while we were playing games, they were like, oh my God, you sound like you're sitting right next to me. And like the quality right? of your voice is absolutely fantastic. And I was like, well, thank you very much.
A good microphone can really make a huge difference.
It does. It makes a huge difference. So now I would say I'd rather go with a more of a professional microphone with a decent pair of headphones.
Well, and you know, it used to be in the day that if you wanted to get a good microphone, you had to spend like $600, $700, $800. Not really the case. Now, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked to our buddy Dave, who was in the market for a microphone. And we were going over different microphones, and the Blue Series has some really great microphones for doing all kinds of different projects, whether you're creating music, doing voiceovers, etc. And our buddy, as we call him, Diamond Dave, out in Indio, California, is with us on the line. Dave, how you doing?
Hey, doing really good, Andy. How about you tonight?
We're doing great. Now, Dave, you went ahead, you ordered the Blue E Raspberry. It's a USB microphone. What were your thoughts when it arrived?
When I first saw it, I thought, man, this is a little tiny $200, you know, waste of money. And then I put it together and plugged it into my computer, and the difference is just absolutely phenomenal. I can't believe the kind of studio quality sound that I'm getting out of it, from right up in front of my face to halfway across the room.
Now, and we have these pictures available. They're up on our website at techtalkradio.com. Just click on the photos tab, and you'll be able to look at these photos. You get this, you open the box, and really, and it's neat because you have like, you did it on your kitchen counter, because there's a bowl of fruit, there's some bananas, and you get an idea that it's a great way to judge the size. It's smaller than a banana.
If you look at the pictures, you'll see that it has both a little stand that just kind of flips around and it sits by itself.
Right.
But it also has an adapter, so you can adapt it to a regular standard studio mic. And like, I've got mine on a little, mic stand now, so it's up a little bit higher. And
for any listener out there that's thinking about recording their own podcast, or they have a need for creating sound, this has a USB connector, so it connects to your laptop, your desktop, Mac, the whole bit. But it also has a Lightning connector, so if you're somebody that likes to record in the field with your iPhone, which, you know, the iPhones today, though, have really great recording device capabilities on them, but now with a microphone attached, you can easily connect it, and then, of course, you're going to get, you know, microphone-driven sound. But again, looking at it, you know, it's not this huge microphone, but I'll be honest with you, my son, Ricardo, has been recording for years, and he uses the Bluey line for his music, and it's been really phenomenal. That's why I kind of recommended them to you.
Yeah, and I'm sure glad you did, because it's the best $200 we've ever spent.
All right, I've got you standing by on Skype with this microphone. Now, I want our listeners can't see this, but I want them to understand, you're not like me. I'm talking directly. My microphone is right in front of me. You can see me on Skype. You are not talking directly in the microphone. So let me go ahead and bring the Skype connection up, and we'll lose the phone. All right, so you can go ahead and hang up the phone now.
Okay.
And let's hear how the Blue E Raspberry USB microphone actually sounds.
Well, I don't know. Do you think it sounds any different?
I think it sounds good. You're not, and the thing is, you're not directly in front of the microphone. Now, if you were to bring that microphone in front of you, can you kind of give us a sample of how it would be if, say, if you were recording some kind of a podcast or a show?
Well, when I am recording a show, it sounds a lot like this.
So that's, how is that? For $200, that's a phenomenal sound. I mean, I'm impressed with it. Now, it didn't come with a, you've got a pop filter on there. It didn't come with a pop filter, did it?
No, nor did it come with a stand. This was a secondary. In fact, I'll just let you hear it without the pop filter.
Okay.
And you'll see, it still sounds quite fine, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And again, you don't have any processing on this. It's plugged down. Which program are you using for recording?
I've been using Audacity. It's a free program with tons of community support and lots of power. I mean, I mix an average of 8 tracks a week, doing music, several different voiceovers that I have to blend in together, and it works really well. I was just really surprised. I thought it was going to be a really tough learning curve. The last thing I used was Cool Edit 2000, just to date myself.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's going way back.
It goes way back. So this is a... It's been really good. Audacity is an awesome program. I think the next thing we want to go to, apparently, is going to be the Adobe's Audition. use right. that.
Yeah, no, that's a great program. The nice thing about Adobe Audition, and I haven't looked in Audacity for a while, so I'm not sure if the multi-track capabilities of the program, if it can do multi-track. I know that, you know, with the old Cool Edit 2000, you could still do multi-tracking. But what you'd get with Adobe Audition, you know, the time and pitch. So if you've got a commercial spot or something that needs to hit 30 seconds, you can kind of fit it. You know, that's how they do all that. When somebody's talking really fast in a commercial, you know, getting through all the legal stuff, trust me, they don't talk that fast.
Are you sure? Come on. Yeah, I thought, sure, everybody's talking like that. The microphone area goes all the way around to the back, and then the sides are solid. It has two potentiometers or buttons. Knobs on each side. One of them increases and decreases the amount of sound the microphone receives, and the other one is actually for listening to or monitoring with your headphones. So you've got a good set of like studio headphones, so you can hear yourselves talking.
Right, now it helps a lot. Is this the first time you use this particular microphone in a Skype situation?
I'm embarrassed to say I haven't used Skype since Windows 10 came out. It took 45 minutes to get the updates.
That's great. All right, so our listeners can go online and do this now. I think the question is going to be, you can't find this. It's not like you could walk into, you know, a retailer and say, oh, I want the blue line of microphones. I mean, maybe Guitar Center, they might have that. How did you end up finding this?
Well, I ended up going right to blueemic.com. In fact, bluemic.com. We say blue E because it's BLU dash and then an italic E, but it's bluemic.com.
Right.
And I purchased it from Amazon myself.
Right.
It looks like they have, I'm just clicking now, checking that.
They have quite a few.
They have quite a few people who handle them.
Right.
Oh, wow. And they have their own web store, so you could buy it directly from them for one penny more than I did on Amazon, $199.99. I bought it for $199.98.
Oh, that, you know, that's that competitiveness of Amazon. They're just, you know, they're going crazy.
Yeah. Packaging was awesome. I think it, I mean, it looks like it was drop shipped from Bluey directly. I mean, it came in a Raspberry box.
Right.
Packaging. So I'm presuming that they just sent it straight from the factory.
Really nice. Again, and it comes with a little carrying bag. So when you need to take it on
a small
project,
gray bag that you can put in both your adapters, so you have your USB and you have your Thunderbolt, you have your extra stand, you have your stand adapter, and all goes into a little nice little bag that you zip tight, and I mean the whole thing could fit in your pocket literally.
I'm really glad that this worked out, and again, it sounds great. So awesome. Well, thanks for sharing with us, and again, our listeners can check that out. Give us that website address again for Bluey. Is it blue or blue-e?
www.bluemic.com. That's bluemic.com.
He's having way too much fun with that microphone. It's Diamond Dave from California. Thank you, buddy.
Take care, bud.
Dude, you got to hook me up. I want to try one of those.
You want to try one of the blue microphones?
I do.
Yeah,
they sound really good.
I'm serious what I was saying about my son uses them in recording, and they record professional stuff that you know is mastered for music and the whole bit. And
they're not too expensive.
No. No. And if you look at the pictures on our Facebook page, again, just go to our Facebook, or go to Tech Talk Radio, go to our website. Mm-hmm. If you look at the pictures, you're going to see this thing is tiny, but yet it produces a lot of sound. And that's, you know, that's great for interviews. If you're out doing an interview with your iPhone, and there's some really good recording programs for your iPhone, just, you know, hold it up and doing it. And it's going to be, the sound is just going to be really good.
Yeah.
So I like that.
Yeah, I want to try one of those.
All right, cool. Hey, now, I know coming up, you've got some stuff you wanted to talk about.
Pretty serious topic, actually.
I've got stuff to tell you. Okay. All right. That's good. I like that. We're going to do that when we come back?
We're going to do that when we come back, yeah.
All right.
So stay tuned.
You can find us on the web at techtalkradio.com. Our Twitter is Tech Talk Radio.
And you can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Tech Talkers. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome to the internet, my friend. How can I help you?
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Justin Lemmy.
I'm Andy Taylor. You can call us anytime. You have a question, our telephone number, 520-204-1754. Now, if we can't get to the phone, leave a message. We can answer your question. You might end up on the air. Either way, that's 520-204-1754. Whether you're in Indiana, Virginia, Tucson, we're here for you. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, okay. It was cool because Justin and I were talking and he says, I've got a subject I want to talk about. I'm like, okay, yeah. cool. And he said, you want to know what it is? And I go, no, just throw it at me. Let's see what it's all about. So,
well, yeah. So
the floor is yours.
Okay. Well, the main subject is online video gaming. Now, before you tune away because you're like, well, I don't play video games. This is not about playing video games for adults or anything like that. Now that I'm a parent, I've taken more interest in this subject.
All right.
And this subject is more about cyberbullying in online video games.
So we had that author on talking about cyberbullying. This is actually during video games.
Yes. There was a friend of mine who actually, as a parent, has an 8-year-old daughter who is very much into Minecraft. And Minecraft is a great game for children and adults alike. There's a lot of adults that play Minecraft, and it's a crafting game where you're in an open world and you can dig and you can make whatever you want out of anything, and right. you just make this nice world. But you can also play online on these public servers, or you can buy your own private server if you wish. But you can play in public servers where everybody's online and you can play.
I've never ever seen the game. I've heard kids talking about it. I've seen some of the characters, but to me, I thought Minecraft it was kind of a Lego thing.
It looks a lot like Lego. I mean, it's a very low quality graphics, but the game itself is amazing and what you can do with it. But being that there's so many people online, and the problem is you get so many people online who feel like they can hide behind their keyboard. And so this gives them free rein to do or say whatever they want to say without fear of prosecution or right. persecution.
Yeah.
In this particular situation, my friend's daughter, who was 8 years old, was playing Minecraft. And she happened 8 years old. Yeah. And a lot of kids, I mean, even from like age 5 to 6 years old, will play Minecraft. I mean, it's a good educational game, too.
Yeah.
It teaches you how to build and how to manage things. But this 8-year-old girl was playing, and her parents actually had set her up with OBS, which is open broadcasting software, so she can record her sessions of playing and then put them to YouTube to make like a YouTube channel of her playing
cool.
Minecraft. Yeah. But during one of these particular sessions, there was this other player in the game that was being extremely rude and saying things to this 8-year-old child that would be constituted as a Class 1 felony in all 50 states, if you
wow.
know what I mean.
Well, okay, so does he know that this person is 8, number one, or this person? Well, you can't
well,
say he.
Does
this person know this person's 8?
The girl mentioned to him, look, I'm 8 years old. What you're telling me you're going to do to me is,
dude,
you know,
are you kidding me?
Yeah. And, right. and then the person would be swearing at her and just being a complete, you know,
yeah.
a-hole.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, the father, you know, my friend happened to kind of notice that the girl was like crying a little bit, and he uh-huh. kind of keeping an eye on her.
Wow.
And then after she got done playing, he went back and he looked at the recording, and it can see the chat messages that this person was, you know, in-game chat messages telling this person what, you know, his daughter, what he was going to do to her and all this stuff. So he decided, you know what, he reached out to me. He was like, what can we do about this? And I was like, well, we can do a little bit of internet sleuthing to try to figure it out.
Really? Nice.
So we first started Googling this person's Minecraft username.
Okay.
And we came up with a particular website where this person was applying to be a moderator of a particular server. And with now that we've figured out that person, you know, that Minecraft username attached to a Skype username, because he put down contact me at Skype. The Skype username was literally the person's first
wow.
name dot last name.
Oh, wow. Great.
And so then we started searching Facebook for this particular person's name and could not find anything. But what we did then is we noticed that in the person's profile, it mentioned something about they lived in this particular city, but then now live in this particular city. We then narrowed our search down to last name and then narrowed it to that particular city that they currently live in, and came up with a lot of results, but then found one result that actually mentioned that
Skype or
Minecraft lived in. Well, it wasn't particularly attached to that, but it said the same thing, was same last name, lived in particular city A, now lives in particular city B, but this person was also older, as in like 40 or 50 years old.
Are you
kidding? So my friend reached out to him and said, hey, do you happen to have a son who goes by the name of this name dot last name? And the person responded, yeah, I do. Why? And so then he proceeded to send him the recording of everything that his son was sending to his 8-year-old daughter. And was, you know, basically saying, you know, you need to take care of this or we're going to call the police.
Yeah.
A couple of days later, the person came back and responded back to him, said, you know, we handled it. We have taken away his computer. We've taken away his internet privileges. We were completely embarrassed and upset about the whole situation. We had no idea. And that goes on to another point is, even though you got a game like Minecraft, where it is designed for children primarily, but adults do play it, you cannot just let your kids go free on these type of games and just expect that they're going to have a good time. Yeah, they probably are. But there are so many adults and so many other kids who pretend to be adults and kids who just don't have any sense of decency, who think that they can hide behind their keyboards and not be punished for what they do or say online.
Yeah, yeah.
And this really brings up a big concern. Now, there is another story that happened. Now, this was many, many, many years ago. There was an online, there was a post on a forum about how this guy was being harassed by a kid in voice chat on, like, I think it was like PlayStation 3 or something like that. They're playing Call of Duty or something.
Right.
And the kid was like, you know, just completely trashing this adult guy. And the guy was like, you know what? You think you're so tough? You know, why don't you give me your name and your address? I'll show you who's tough. Well, the kid actually was like, yeah, I live at this address. Come and find me. And the guy literally booked a flight, went to the kid's house.
Oh my God.
Knocked on the door. The kid answered the door and he was like, are you so-and-so? And the kid was like, yeah. And he punched him in the face.
What?
Knocked him out and was like, yeah, that's what you get for talking smack. Well, the guy obviously was arrested and charged with, you know, felony assault charges and all that.
Right.
But the kid learned his damn lesson.
You know, we can't
hide behind a keyboard.
Yeah, that's the thing.
You don't know what you're dealing with.
Well, it's not only that, but the parents, and we kind of covered a little of this, but parents need to be proactive rather than reactive.
They need to be involved.
Does this kind of change the way your friend is looking at, you know, the computer?
Absolutely.
I mean, see, and this is what J.A. Hitchcock was talking about a couple weeks back, is the fact that some kids are afraid to go to their parents because they think they're going to have their privileges taken. She was a victim in this case.
Absolutely.
And she's afraid mom and dad are going to take away Minecraft from her.
Exactly. She didn't want to mention anything to him. She was afraid. Exactly that point. She was like, I'm afraid to mention this to mom and dad because I don't want them to take away my game. I love the game.
So they need to kind of keep an eye on what she's doing, not be afraid to walk in. You know, I've known parents that, you know, the kids maybe have laptops or tablets. They will just regularly pick them up, you know, and it's that whole thing. You know, if the kid's in your house, we want them to feel free, but it's not them necessarily all the time. It's the people that either they're hanging out with or the ones that are having chats with them. And, you know, the thing to remember, and this is for everybody, this is for whether you're a kid, you're a senior, do never ever believe anybody online. Now, if you have an online relationship with maybe your son, your daughter, your sister, your brother, your cousin, your uncle, okay, great. If you know it's them, that's good. All right. Never, even if it's your uncle that sends you an email, tells you click here, don't do it. See, the thing is you can be the most diligent person when it comes to protecting your system. Malware protection, you know, you have all the antivirus in place. You're very careful with your passwords. And you get an email from, it could be your boss. It's one of the new scams that are going around where they've hacked into companies. They've got an email list of employees. And next thing you know, they send you an email from the boss and it looks official. And it's not from the boss. It's from a hacker. So you have to worry about, you know, maybe your relatives have been hacked. So you're thinking it's from your uncle and you click on it. Next thing you know, you're infecting your system and then it just keeps growing. That's what a virus is. It starts small and grows and grows and grows. And next thing you know, it's taking over everybody you know because you're sending out stuff unbeknownst to you. So again, you have to be very careful. Just if you get a link, anytime you get, hey, click this link. I don't even play videos if somebody sends me those. you know, they say, you know, click this link here. Don't do it. Yeah. Right. Yeah. If you're having a chat with someone, you know what's there. But if you're having a chat with anybody else, you have no idea who that person is.
Yeah.
You know, you may be thinking, oh, you're talking to somebody from work. It might not even be somebody from your work.
Yeah.
You think you've struck up a relationship with somebody online. This happens a lot on sites that are considered dating sites. They have no idea who they're talking to. They could be talking to a neighbor, a coworker, somebody that they compete with in business. You may think that you are having a conversation with somebody you knew way back when, or just a new relationship, and you just think it's everything's hunky-dory, and it may not be. Yeah, the only reason they want to pretend, they have this little thing about pretending they're somebody else, sending somebody else's fake pictures, the whole bit, so you could never, ever trust, unless you have a face-to-face meeting with that person.
Yeah.
Even then, you still...
sometimes
I've watched enough episodes of Catfish, which I absolutely love, to know that you got to be careful. But when they start directing some of this to kids, that's pretty sad.
And the kicker of this whole situation was, you know, I cannot go into detail of what this other kid was telling this 8-year-old daughter, but you can probably get an idea based on what I said, what you could get punished with. That's the kind of stuff that he was telling this 8-year-old child. Turns out the kid that was saying it was only 11 himself.
Wow.
And so he was talking like he was, and he probably learned it from other people talking online based on that. Now, this doesn't just go for PC. This goes for PlayStation. This goes for Xbox. This goes for Nintendo, whatever you play. Anytime you are in a public game or a chat room, anything goes. It literally is the wild, wild west. The internet is the wild west. And what happened with my friend is now he's installed a VNC viewer on that desktop computer. So at any point when his daughter is using the computer, he can log in from his iPad or, Android tablet. That's what he's using. Or his other laptop, and literally just watch the screen of what she's seeing without her even knowing.
She realizes, though, he's doing that for her
Absolutely.
Protection.
No, now that this is all said and done, she realizes that her dad is there to protect her, that he is not out to hurt her or to keep her from having fun. He's there to keep her safe.
One of the other things this does highlight, too, is to remember that anybody could be found on the internet, pretty much.
Anybody. And anything.
Pretty much.
Anything you post on the internet, even if you go back and delete it, like that tweet or that Facebook post, you're like, yeah, maybe I'll delete that. Nah.
Once it's out there.
It will always exist on the internet.
All right, we come back. We have our website of the week. I've got a pretty fun website. I think you'll have a good time with it.
All right, perfect.
It'll be perfect in light of our discussion.
I know,
very much. This is Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
And I'm Justin Lemmy. We'll be right back.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
You can just hang outside in the sun all day tossing a ball around, or you can sit at your computer and do something that matters.
This is Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
And I'm Justin Lemmy. Welcome back.
All right. So we've got our website of the week. Actually, a couple of things. First off, though, we wanted to certainly mention the passing of Masaya Nakamura. Now, Masaya was the creator of Pac-Man.
Yes.
He passed away at the age of 91. 91 years old. Now,
he lived a good life.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, not only did he do Pac-Man, let's see, he had come up with Galaxian and other titles that were part of, what is it? Was it Namco that
Namco,
came out with that?
Yeah.
But if it wasn't for that, we would never have had that song from Buckner and Garcia, Pac-Man Fever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta say thank you. Thank you.
R.I.P. Mr. Nakamura. Nakamura-san.
Very cool stuff. Here's the website of the week. I just thought this was a fun website. It is the Screaming Goat Piano. And if you're looking for a website, yeah, I know. You're not going to learn anything other than playing music. It's a 12-key. Great.
That was
You play a mean goat.
Yeah.
It's a 12-key musical keyboard. You just pull it up on your computer screen and just play like Justin was just doing. All right, and you have one as well, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about Minecraft, this last one, but there's another game that came out a couple years ago, but I've kind of just recently found out about it. But it's called Roblox, and it's R-O-B-L-O-X, Roblox.com. You can play it on the PC, the PlayStation, the Xbox. But what it is it's an imagination. They say it's powering imagination.
All right.
So what this game is, it's not even a game. It's like an encompassing world where you can go in and actually create your own games using the Roblox engine.
Nice.
So I've played games on the Xbox on the Roblox platform, from mall tycoon, where you can build a mall and you got to stock it with items and people come in and shop and you just get to learn how to manage a store.
Right.
I played like an assassin game where you have to, you know, or it's called, I'm sorry, murder mystery, where, you know, one person gets picked as the murderer and everybody else, and you're all running around this one room and you got to try to silently, you know, kill each person. But it's all great. Like, they look like Lego characters.
Right.
They don't look like Minecraft. They look like more like Lego characters.
Now where do you get this?
Roblox.com is for the PC client, or if you're on PlayStation or Xbox, just search Roblox. It's free to play.
Cool.
Every single game is free to play, and it's a great, you know, again, kids game. Mind you, as a parent, you need to monitor what's happening with your child's interactions online, but it is a really cool game, and if you use the PC version, you can actually get the Roblox Studio, which allows you to actually create your own game using the Roblox engine. And then if you get lucky enough and good enough, publish it and make money.
Good stuff. All right, that's it for this week's Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
And I'm Justin Lemme. We will see you next week.